Item number one is a resolution expressing opposition to current pending legislation in the Wisconsin State Legislature that greatly expands the location and circumstances where an individual may carry a weapon. I did receive notification that Supervisor Lipscomb asked to be added as a co-sponsor. Is there any objection to this? And I will so order.
Yeah, no, I think I went to everybody's office and gave it to them.
And there's an amendment.
Yeah, I've got it.
I think let's talk about
it.
No.
Yeah,
Supervisor Biddle, do you want to take charge on this? And I know you were in Madison. We got those comments. So I'll talk about your resolution, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My fellow colleagues, I want to first of all thank my co-sponsors, Supervisor Dimitri Avich and Supervisor Broderick, for signing on to this piece of legislation. I also want to thank the county board staff for working with me to get this done. As you all know, the state legislature has seen fit to pass three bills regarding concealed carry. If I could categorize them in words, I would call one dumb, dumber, and dumbest. I want to talk about the dumbest version of the bill today, which is the constitutional carry. If you look through the bill, it does away with the broad exemption for public grounds. Before I do, I'll preface this with my comments on a personal nature. I've grown up in Milwaukee all my life in an urban environment. I've lost friends to gun violence. I've witnessed gun violence. I don't necessarily think adding more guns to the street is a solution to curb crime and make people safe. As a county supervisor, before I was sworn in, a young man at Tiefenthaler Park was shot to death by a gun. And I don't think that any pieces of this legislation from any three bills would have made that situation any safer than what it was. I think guns escalate situations, and that's my personal take on it. As a county official, if you look through the bill, the concealed carry, constitutional carry, it does away with the public ground exemption. So what it says is if the county or the city wants to preserve public safety on their grounds and disallow these firearms and other illegal weapons, they would basically have to set up electronic monitoring, storage facilities for said guns, and then, of course, you would have someone Of course, you would have to have someone there to staff that, too. I had the Jack from the Department of Public Works and Transit prepare a rough estimate of what that might cost as far as costs. The electronic screening would be $8,000, stores lockers about $2,000, and then wages about $10 to $14 per hour. And even with so, if you're dealing with staff who has to actually deal with firearms, what type of staff do you really want there to actually deal with those situations? I went up to Madison to testify on behalf of myself in the 10th District of my opposition to this bill. It's irresponsible. I don't think that it considers a county as Milwaukee, which has a lot of different facets to it versus other counties in the rural communities. I made note that there are differences between Milwaukee County, the biggest county in the state, and other places of the state. And if you're going to craft broad legislation in this matter, you need to consider those differences and respect them. Our Sheriff Clark did testify before me. He said that in 2003 he was against concealed carry, but now that he is for it based on him not seeing crime decrease. And he, but also in addition that he wanted to trump up the charges from if you're caught with a illegal concealed weapon, that instead of it being a misdemeanor, a felony, which I agree with, and I had an amendment from Supervisor Dimitri Avich to be introduced to address those concerns, and also to deal with straw purchases of folks who buy guns through an intermediary because they can't get one themselves. So when I looked at the resolution, I worked with the IGR staff to really comb through the bill and the research analysts. And if you think about all of our different venues, like the zoo, the museums, the domes, our behavioral mental health complex, the Isaac Cox Center, the Marshall Cox Center. If you think of all of those different, our airport, let's not forget the airport, because under this bill, you can carry up until the security checkpoints in the airport. So if you think of all of these different situations, it really boggles my mind if they think that this is all right for counties. In addition, you can carry these things in the daycare centers. It does away with the school zones. You can't bring it onto the school grounds, but you can bring it in into the school zones. You can also bring them into taverns. So apparently they think mixing guns and liquor is a good idea. I find it disturbing that in an environment where they're strengthening the requirements to vote and also abolishing workers' rights, that they think with dangerous weapons anybody should carry them without any training or permits. I think that's disgraceful. Before I spoke, a lobbyist from the NRA from Fairfax, who's not even from Milwaukee, spoke on behalf of the citizens of Milwaukee and saying that, you know, he thinks that the folks in the hood should have guns, but there shouldn't be any training because they have money to purchase the guns, but they wouldn't have any money to acquire the training necessary for these weapons. I found that insulting, and I said that so in Madison. If you look at it from a fiscal point of view, it doesn't make any sense. If you look at it from a public safety point of view, it doesn't make any sense. I'm sure that the gentleman behind me from the Marcus Center for Performing Arts and the zoo would agree that this could have potential consequences on their businesses. It could deter customers from actually coming to those facilities to enjoy things because those are family events. Folks, I mean, when you talk about the zoo, you talk about school groups. Most of, in the summertime, most of their customer base are school groups and young kids. And so it's all right for folks to bring concealed weapons, any weapon, into a zoo. And why do you need it at a zoo? Do you have a grudge against some zoo monk, some zoo animal that you have to bring a weapon in? What is the basis for it? And if you look at it from a logistical purpose, we have hundreds of county grounds with a lot of entrance points. So we're talking about having to set up these shops at the multiple entrance points and at the various county grounds. I mean, the costs are astronomical. I mean, we're talking about, we're in this committee talking about the cuts to transit, the cap to family care, and what that would mean for other systems and how that would stress taxpayers. And then, and as county officials, we have to evaluate if we even have the money to do this. I mean, frankly, we don't. And so it's another unfunded mandate. It boggles my mind that they actually think that this is all right. I mean, even in the dumbest version of the bill, the Senate bill, I think it's Senate Bill 93, they give residential and non-residential facilities the ability to post signage prohibiting weapons from coming into them. But for the county, for the city, for the municipalities, we can't even get that option. And so there's a lot of, I think the judicial committee last week for the city took a neutral position, which I didn't really quite understand. I know there's a lot of folks who are being quiet about their opposition to it and hoping that they and silently lobbying for an exemption, a broad exemption for public grounds. And I would really think that it's in the best interest of this county to take a more aggressive stance, to show leadership and be loudly opposed to the way they're trying to institute and rush through this bill, and to equip the IGR staff to go up there with the tools necessary to address our concerns. Because, you know, to be honest, our concerns are very different from other rural communities and other smaller counties in the state with all that we do. I haven't even talked about how do you police this with parks, with open land. What about our bus system? I mean, there's so many factors to think about when you talk about this bill, and it was a concern to me. And, you know, I just felt moved to really take a lead on this and bring this to the attention of this committee and to the board as a whole. And hopefully I will have your support. I think I've tried to include most things that make sense, like permits, like training, trumping up the charges to actually deter folks from carrying legal concealed weapons. I think in the Senate Bill 93, they actually take it from a Class A misdemeanor to a Class C. So they're even going backwards on as far as the punishment for these offenses. So I think it's appropriate, talking to the district attorney, talking to the sheriff's office and the City of Milwaukee Police Department, that I agree with that it needs to be trumped up to a felony. That's pretty much it. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. I think it makes sense. And I hope that it'll be a successful passage of this in this committee. So thank you for your time.
I'll get Supervisor to contact. I don't have any cards, but when you said I need affirmation, then in our audience, and Mr. Paul Matthews from Marcus Center, and
Mr. Keegan.
Mr. Keegan from the Art Museum. Thank you. Are we all an affirmative on this?
Yes. Support of the resolution.
We're all support of the resolution. Okay. Mm-hmm. Everybody hear that? Okay. Support of the resolution. Okay. Supervisor comments. Who they? I'll just go down the line. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start.
Amendment two.
Pardon me?
Then my amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, and why don't you, let's get a little comment, and then when we go to your amendment, Supervisor, I'll let, if anybody else wants to speak first, we'll do that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Supervisor Borkowski, you're on.
Great. First of all, let me compliment you, one of our newest supervisors, for taking leadership and making a name for yourself, so congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm a little confused about where the sheriff comes down as far as this resolution. I know that he's changed his support, and I guess I'd like to know, as far as this resolution, does he support this resolution?
When I first started crafting it, I did call the sheriff's office. I talked to Inspector Schmidt.
Yeah.
He informed me that all he told me on record was that the sheriff supports the right to carry, and with certain preferences, and he wouldn't give me any clue to what those things were. I wasn't sure on where he stood until I actually heard him in Madison when he spoke in support of it, but with these caveats of training, permits, and the trumped up charges. So as it relates to this resolution, I really couldn't get anything out of his office.
So, well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to get from that.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I mean,
But I did attempt to. I talked to the DA and I talked to the sheriff's office. I talked to them twice, and they just did not really give me a whole lot to go off on. So,
I'm not sure I can sense a difference between what the sheriff is now saying and what this resolution is. Okay, I mean I suspect that it's kind of similar. I mean. And I guess that would help as far as support. Now, I guess the other thing is, what do you say? You know, obviously the other side's argument is, well, the bad people are going to have guns anyways. So this, I don't want to say evens the playing field. That's terrible, but you know, they're not going to do the training. They're not going to do the legality stuff anyways. And so this is our right, if you will, to protect ourselves. How do you answer that?
So, I guess, are we stooping to the level of criminals? Are we stooping to the level of the worst elements of our society? You know, because they do it, we should. I think we should do it responsibly. I think we should do it that ensures public safety. I mean, as a county official, I just, I think of the dynamics and the logistics of this, and I just... As, for taxpayers and just for people who are coming out to enjoy our cultural entities, I just don't think it's fair that we don't do anything about it, or at least attempt to try to get those exemptions. Like I said in Madison, like I've said before, with rights come responsibility. And so if you want to have this right, craft it in a way that makes sense, be responsible in the execution of the policy, and I just don't see it. So even if you came at me from that angle, why couldn't we get training? Why couldn't we get permits? I think that makes sense. I think that there has to be an accountability piece to it. And, I just don't agree with lowering the bar because criminals do it. I mean, if that's the case, do away with a whole lot of stuff.
That's a good answer. My final point is, it makes sense, dome, zoo, that kind of thing. Anything... enclosed like that. I don't know, lakefront or a county park.
Right.
I'm not looking for, exemptions or whatever. I know what you're trying to say and I'm gonna support this, but I don't know how in a park. I mean, I don't have a problem. If somebody wants to carry, I think they need to be trained. They need to have a permit. They need to have a reason that they're carrying this. And I don't have a problem with that. But I don't know why they need it at the art museum, or they need it at the zoo, or they need it at the Marcus Center. I mean, I just don't. I don't know how. I mean, the county parks. lakefront, you know, that's going to be impossible. I mean, they're going to carry there regardless, you know. So that's
yeah, I mean, from when you ask someone that, I mean, I was driving through the neighborhood that night when that young man got shot, and you know, for me, it's just been something on my mind, and I just. I mean, if you have a bill that already does, if you have a law that already forbids concealed carry, now, you know, folks can just openly carry them after the age of 21 without any type of training or permits. I mean, you know, summertime, basketball games, that happened because of a basketball game dispute, you know, so it just really worries me what this can do to increase that type of violence at county parks, and it's in my district, and I'm very concerned about that. So that's why I attacked it the way I did.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Thank you. Mr. Brook.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome.
I have a couple questions. I understand more about the bill that's called constitutional carry. I'm a little bit more informed on that than I am the other two. And I understand they've passed three. So how do, though they haven't.
No, they've introduced three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, are they conceivably going to pass all three, or are they going to merge them?
I think they're trying to get a consensus of what road to go.
Okay.
I think the fact that they have three signifies that they don't really know, you know, which one they should do. From my understanding, from talking to staff, is that they have the votes for the worst bill, the dumbest bill, which is what I'm talking about. If you even combine all three bills, it still equals to pretty bad policy. I think it's AB 126. That's the bill that actually talks about the training, and I think it's like 2 hours.
So there
still
isn't
a permit
and the
process.
The other one has a permit. Is
no, the other one doesn't. I don't think the other assembly bill has a permit or a training. I think Assembly Bill 126 has the training. You go to a private, you get a private certificate, you can carry it around, you get 2 hours of training, and there you go. The assembly bills, what the assembly bills different than the Senate bills is that in the assembly bills, the county could post signage prohibiting those illegal weapons. The problem is, you know, how does Milwaukee County institute a signage policy with all that we do? And I just think a broad exemption is the way to go versus posting signage.
And how, in the bills that you're, obviously you know them better, right now at the mental health facility, we have signage that say you can't bring in weapons.
Mm-hmm.
If these bills are adopted, particularly the constitutional carry, would we have the ability to continue with that? I mean, right now, we have electronic monitoring in some places and
right.
had to institute some
right.
because some situations. But does that trump, or would we have that ability to continue even in the areas that are enclosed, like BHD or the courthouse, would we still have that ability?
Under the bills, you cannot bring weapons into federal or state courthouses. Right. You cannot bring them into police stations.
But what about hospitals?
But it doesn't address that.
Chairman, Supervisor, the Supervisor is correct that there are the different versions of the bill. Under the version of the bill that was heard by the Assembly, the more restrictive version of the bill, the legislation would allow for the county, if it's so determined as a policy, that there were certain facilities that it wanted to prohibit the carrying of concealed weapons from, to do so via a signage requirement at all entrances. Under the least restrictive version of the bill, there are only specific areas per statute that concealed carry weapons would be specifically prohibited, like the courthouse. And if the county, as a policy, wanted to prevent the carrying of concealed weapons in other facilities, like the behavioral health facility, it would have to provide for the weapon screening and for the storage. And that does include that facility, and there are no health care exemptions. In the past, when this bill has been considered by the legislature, there was a specific exemption for the healthcare facilities.
Okay, so then let me just follow it, and I won't take a real long time, but I want to follow up this question, then I also have a comment and a concern. Let's say we keep that at BHD, but we don't do it at the Performing Arts Center, you know, or some other facility that's closed that you potentially could put monitoring systems in and put the signage up, but we decide not to. And then someone comes in with a concealed weapon and shoots and kills someone or harms them or whatever. Then wouldn't the county, aren't we then in the liability loop? I mean, I'm trying to think of the ramifications of this legislation. It just got worse and worse. Or are all municipalities and governments exempted from, if we fail to not enclose and not monitor everybody? I mean, it's one thing to do it in a facility that has two entrances. It's another thing to do it in one with 15 entrances or nothing at all, like, you know, climbing a fence at the zoo. Is there any?
Go ahead.
Chairman, Supervisor, I have shared this legislation with Corporation Council in part because it's pretty clear that the legislature will be passing a version of concealed carry in the very near future. We've heard that they're looking at either the first week of June or the second week of June, that they will have what could be called a hybrid version of the various legislation that's out there, and that we have to move toward an implementation stage, depending on what version is passed. I haven't posed that specific question to Corp Council as it related to how you describe it as a policy, if you were so to determine that you would actually have not just a broad exemption, that you don't want them in your facilities and you make that decision, that instead you would make it by facility. I mean, it could be different. I haven't posed that question. I think that I'm not a lawyer, but I believe that there was some broad exemptions that we would not be liable for allowing concealed weapons on our property. That's what I would call.
The other piece, and Supervisor Biddle and I talked briefly last week on this, that the only part of this legislation effort that I have any interest in being supportive of comes from being a crime victim. I've been robbed at gunpoint. There was a gun at my 5-year-old daughter's head. I've been attacked at gunpoint. So there's been multiple situations where I was at a massive distinct disadvantage because the robber or the attacker had a gun and I didn't. Thinking it through, I remember at one point when I first divorced and was in a household by myself, I bought a gun. And there was nothing I had to do other than fill out a form. And I didn't take a single training class, didn't know really other than, you know, how to load it to load it. And as a result, in following all the rules, though, about where you keep the bullets one place and you tape the gun up you put the lock on it and then you put it in a case with the lock and then you hide the key for the lock, and then you hide the key for the case lock, and then you hide the bullet somewhere else. And this all had to be somewhere where the kids wouldn't ever find it. So literally, if someone had actually broke into my house, I would have had to say, could you just hold for like 10 minutes because I have to take apart my dresser to find the first key. And then I have to take, and literally, was that absurd that after a year and a half, I sold the gun to a friend of mine. And so, you know, I started thinking through over this weekend some of the effects of this. And there's been a couple times, like I've said, where I thought the gun would help. But there's also times where I've walked into a park and watched some kids get bullied. And I, as a woman, go up and say, stop it. I've watched people harass other people and said, why did you do that? Or please stop what you're doing, or where you're intervening on kids being problems. And I guess the concealed gun piece of it that bothers me the most is in those situations, it's already an estimate of risk whether you intervene, and a lot of people don't. They don't help somebody out that's getting beaten up, or they don't help some kid who's being abused or you know, bullied or whatever. And to ask a citizen, even an adult, to consider helping out when they don't know whether the person they're talking to is concealing a weapon or much more likely to carry a concealed gun, I just think that the aftermath of this could be even worse. I also know that when people get mad, if they have a cooling down period, even the 20 minutes it might take for them to go home and get their gun and come back versus the gun being on them. So I am, you know, before I really thought this through, frankly, I might have kind of voted against it, but now I'm going to support it. I'm going to support it not only, I think, because my personal opinion has changed on it, but I also think that my constituents, in the end, would really be substantially harmed if all this legislation goes through, and at much higher risk. And I'd hate to see us become a community where we don't help people in need because we're worried about whether somebody who disagrees with us has a weapon. And so that's where I'm at it. I think the one piece I am concerned about, where I'm a little worried just procedurally, where they'll just completely ignore us. I think that's going to happen anyway. But I do think on lines 65 to 68, first of all, the wording of the legislation I think is really good. It's just that 65 through 68, you're kind of opposing all current pending legislation. My guess is if the sheriff opposes any part of this piece of this legislation, it might be that, because I think he supports it with permits. But, so he might support all the rest of it. I don't know whether he'd support those lines. In the end, I could never consider any supporting any concealed carry unless you had both a permit, a required permit, plus a required training, because I needed a license and training to get my car, which is a deadly weapon, and hunters in the state have to have training to hunt. And it seems to me if you have to have training to shoot a deer, you should have to have training before you shoot someone else. And so I appreciate this. You've actually helped me understand and come to a conclusion where I'm going to go, and I appreciate it. And I think you've helped bring some clarity to it that I don't know the insanity going on there. The gun lobby's years and years of campaign contributions is sure paying off, because this is unbelievable. I think they did all these different ones to change the bar so that it wasn't do we do it or not, it's just how bad is it going to be. And that's really sad. So thank you very much, both personally as well as an elected official.
Thank you, Supervisor.
Supervisor Broderick, comment? Or?
Oh, yes, Mr. Chair.
May I be added as a co-sponsor?
Yes, you may.
Off your deathbed, good to see you.
We're, given the absence of the press, I don't know how important this issue is, but just those of us talking here among ourselves, I will take the perspective of a police officer, which I at one time was, mm-hmm. had hot contact with gunfire, and in fact had one individual die in my arms. I think people who somehow come to these fascinating conclusions, people who are supposedly responsible adults, how they can find their way to this kind of absurdity either speaks to such an utter lack of experience or the fact that they're not quite adults yet. My guess is that our kids and our grandchildren will look back at this aberrant chapter in Wisconsin history, this legislative session specifically, as a time when the loonies were piping the tune. I mean, this is unthinkable in a civilized society, but then again, whoever argued we were a civilized society? This is a tragedy that's being committed right here and now by a legislature comprised of people who, to a person, should know better. And the question that just causes me to be wondrous is, why don't they? It's incredible. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Supervisor Dimitri, it would be the time to put your amendments in then.
Thank you. You have my amendment written and prepared for you, and Supervisor Biddle already spoke about 1 and 2, so I think those pretty much speak for themselves.
Okay.
And 3 and 4, I guess I would add as kind of a technicality or cleanup. Mm-hmm. I always want to make sure that we have it correct.
Yeah.
I'll make the motion to approve this amendment. And, a lot has already been said. I really liked Supervisor Biddle's press release that he spoke so eloquently, and it can be summed up that it's now so much harder to vote than to carry a concealed weapon. is an unfortunate state of society. So, but that being said, I'm glad that we're adding one and two, because that's extremely important to have our voice heard. Well, this will be adopted soon. Perhaps, maybe not, maybe it won't be. But if it's going to be, these things need to be included. So, Mr. Chairman, I move approval on this amendment then.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? All right, on the amendment, please, Madam Clerk.
On approval of the amendment, Supervisor Barkowski.
Aye.
DeBruin.
Aye.
Roderick.
Aye.
Dmitrievich.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
May I? If I still do have the floor, perhaps.
Yes, you do.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move approval as amended.
Thank you. On that, Madam Clerk.
As amended, Supervisor Barkowski.
Aye.
DeBruin.
Aye.
Robert.
Aye.
Dmitrievich.
Aye.
And Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Motion to approve as amended 5-0.
Thank you. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.